to swing this thing around here and get it all done. Genealogies are not the most exciting things to read in the Bible unless you've got some kids you want to name. There's just a lot of names and things in here that in the Bible that, you know, you read through and it's like, well, time to skip to another page and go to another chapter. Our text this evening, if you'd open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and that's on page 355. And there's a lot of genealogy that's given here, the family of David, the family of Caleb, the family of Jeconiah, and the family of Judah and Simeon, and all these different names. And if you've got somebody you want to call a name to, this is a great way to get a lot of these names in here. I particularly like Hazel Pony. That's one of my favorite names that are given here. But you can get some like Ben-Hanan or Shela or Marasheth. And, you know, your children will hate you when you grow up. You'd best call them Sue, in fact. But what is interesting about this genealogy that sometimes you really get some good information out of these things, besides all these names. And curiously enough, in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, through the midst of all of this genealogical stuff, in verse 9, we have a story about a man by the name of Jabez. And we really don't know anything about him. Except the fact that here he is, contained in this little blurb of genealogy, and not really a lot is said about him, but we're going to, of course, spend the next 45 minutes talking about him. So you know this is what preachers love, is that we can take nothing and make something out of it for a very long time. In verse 9, he says, the Chronicles does, that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And so God granted him what he requested. I think it's fascinating how the Holy Spirit instructs and gives the word to us. And that for some reason in this mass amount of genealogies, there's this man by the name of Jabez, but something had to be said about him. The others are just names of who they were, the father of begats and the begits and all those begetting folks. And there's a few things about being a craftsman. But here, even the daughter of Pharaoh is in there. But here is a wonderful story about a man who simply offered a prayer. And it's a powerful prayer. It's a prayer that has four points to it. A prayer that is well worth our consideration, that we may give pause to learn how to pray. Sometimes we wonder, you know, how do we pray? What do I need to pray about? And the Bible is, of course, filled with all the exhortations to pray for this and to pray for that. And there's a long list of things that we pray about. But here we've got a great model prayer about some things that are rather simple. And I think some things that we miss in our lives as being people of God, of things that we need to pray for that sometimes we don't think about. Because first of all, the thing that he says is that I want you, Lord, to bless me indeed. You know, there's a lot of people we got to pray for. We got to pray for the president and the governing officials, and we got to pray for the sick, and we got to pray for the soldiers who are off in some foreign world, and we've got to pray for all of the things that are going on. And that's, of course, what we need to be doing, and we need to be praying about all those things. But you know what sometimes we forget to pray about, or who we forget to pray about? Me. We need to stop and realize that God wants us to say to him, well, Lord, I need help. And I, you know, looking out over this crowd, there ain't nobody here that don't need help. We all, and that was a compliment, by the way. We all need help. And one of the things that we see strikingly in this prayer of Jabez is, the first thing he says is, oh, that you would bless me indeed. We need to go to God and say to him, I really need to, maybe to talk to him about some things. I'm afraid so often we think of prayer, well, God knows what I need. Well, he does know what we need. And yes, God is concerned about those kinds of things. And sure, we could go through life and say, well, it doesn't really need, I don't need to talk to God because he already knows what we mean. But you know, that's kind of like children. Children may know that we're going to take care of them, but we like for them to ask. We like for them to come and talk to us. And what we need to see is that when we talk to God in prayer, he wants to hear from our own lips things that we need. There are things that I need to go to God and say, you know, Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Well, I know you know that, but you know, God, I need some help in this area. And I think that we would probably spend a lot more time in prayer. Sometimes people think, well, I don't know how to pray. Well, go to God and say to Him, here's a list of things that I need, Lord. There's always going to be a list of things. And it is important to note that in many places in Scripture, that's exactly what they ask. The book of Psalms is a prayer book. We've noted, I'm not sure you can find them anymore, but there was a time when you always could find New Testaments, and they always included the Psalms and the Proverbs. And what that represented was that, you know, the New Testament, you know, the covenant of God with the children of Israel, or children of God today and the church and all that. But the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs was the song book and the prayer book. And in many ways, that's how people used to sing and they used to do their prayers. But particularly in the Psalms, we need to look at the Psalms as a book of prayer and how that we can pray through the Psalms. Because so many times the Psalms declare the wonderful glories of God and the needs, and we'll see some of those tonight, like in Psalm 22 and verse 19, when he says that, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. We should never hesitate to say to God, Lord, I need help. Number one, because I do. But number two, he wants us to say to him, I need help, and I need it bad. I need you to be here for me, and I want you to not be far from me. We've got to have a personal relationship with God. We need to have an abiding with the Father that is in a very deep and personal relationship. In Romans chapter 8, just as a side, the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, and joint heirs with Christ. Do you know what we can say? Only you and I, who are children of God, can say this. Abba, Father. That is a deeply emotional, deeply connected endearment of a relationship that a son has to his father. When my father was living, I could speak to him as my father in no way that I could speak to any other man on the face of this earth, because he was my father. And we had that relationship that we could share together. And when we think about praying to God, we need to realize that he wants us to say, Abba, Father. In the relationship of saying, you know, Lord, our Father, I need help. And I need you to help me. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 38 and verse 22, he goes on to say, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Because we need to tell God that we need help. We need help here. We need help there. We need help in a lot of different ways. In Psalm chapter 40, he says, in rather a lengthy terms, the idea of this helping me and abiding with me. And notice that in these Psalms, these are very personal relationships that these psalmists appeal to. He says in verse 11, do not, and notice the relationship of the Father and the Son, do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. I am poor and needy. Here it is. I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Oh, do not delay, oh my God. That's personal. Like Jabez, we need to ask God, Lord, bless me indeed. I'm the one that needs help here. I'm the one that's seeking your blessing. And throughout this context, you can see how we're seeing that the need of having this relationship. I need your loving kindness. There's evil all about me, and I want you to help me. There's an acknowledgement of sin in verse 12 of the fact the iniquities that are there. But be pleased to deliver me and make haste to help me, O Lord. We need to spend time sometimes in prayer just talking about ourselves. And that's okay, because he wants us to talk about ourselves. In Psalm 59 in verse 1, he says, "Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from the bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. Awake to help me, and behold." We need to learn to pray for ourselves and pray for the things that we need. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be confounded and consumed who are adversaries of my life. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek my hurt. What he is asking for is the blessing of God upon him. Bless me indeed. I need this and I need this. And you know, the thing about it is that when we ask that of God, he's going to give it to us. He's going to give us the strength that we need because we have that personal relationship that we can abide with him, and we have the right to do this. Here's the thing that we were suggesting a moment ago about Abba Father. People who aren't Christians can't do that. Now, people who are not Christians can pray to God, yes. They can pray to God for guidance and they can pray to God for direction, but they can't pray to God as Abba Father. They can't pray to God for forgiveness of sins. They can't pray for God, as we talked about this morning, the grace and mercy of God, because he can't bestow that upon anyone but his children. I can't go and have a long talk with the Lord as my Father if I'm not a Christian. People who are not Christians don't have that relationship, because they are not in a covenant relationship. They're not in a family relationship with the Lord because they have not accepted him. They have not obeyed the Son of God. And like this morning, we should never, ever, ever take for granted the fact that I, as a child of God, I am allowed to come into the very throne of God and say to him, "Bless me indeed." People who aren't Christians can't do that. They're not allowed in the presence of God. But you and I are. We should never take that. And we should always use that as an opportunity and realize the blessings that are ours. And we should never, ever give that up. We have so many blessings that are ours. There's a story. It's not true. There's a story about a man who went to heaven and Peter's showing him around. Did I tell you this isn't true? And they're getting a tour of heaven, you know, here's this guy and here's this. And the way I said, there's this huge building off in the distance. And the man says, well, now, Peter, what's that building? Oh, you don't want to know. No. What's that building? Well, all right, I'll show you. So they went over this big, and it's a huge building. And there's big doors, and they open it up. And it's just a big, huge, tremendous building that's just got shelves and shelves and boxes all over the place. And they got closer and they looked at all the boxes and there's names on them. And he said, "These boxes got names on them. What is that?" And Peter says, "Well, these are all the blessings that God promised to give to people, but they never ask." Isn't that a shame? To think about all the blessings and all the things that God has promised us, and we haven't asked. And they're sitting on a shelf somewhere in heaven waiting for us, what? To just simply ask. Bless me indeed. Lord, I need your help. Psalm 109. "Help me, O Lord my God. Oh, save me according to your mercy, that they may know that this is your hand, that you, Lord, have done it." Psalm 119. "Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts." You see, the relationship that we have in prayer is that we need to go to God, and it would help sometimes take a piece of paper and a thing called a pencil. I don't know, we don't know what that is these days, but write it down and say, "Lord, these are things that I need in my life, good or bad. You know, I need to be encouraged this way." And to have a conversation with the Lord, I mean, make it a list. Make it a thing of saying to the Lord, "I need you to bless me indeed." That's what Jabez was saying. That's what Jabez was doing, is that he began his prayer by just calling on the name of the God, and, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed. I need your help." We need to spend a lot of time doing nothing. Okay, don't get offended by this. Don't pray for me. Don't pray for anybody else. Don't pray for the condition of the country. Don't pray for the sick. Don't pray for any of those folks. Pray for yourself. You pray for them other things later. But spend time just talking to God about you. And I need to talk to God about me. But there's something else involved in this prayer, because he goes on in our text to say not only that you would bless me indeed, but there's something else as a qualifier to that. Enlarge my territory, he says. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Now, what he is saying is that I want you to give me more opportunities. Here's the connect about prayer. We go to God and we say, Lord, I want you to bless me indeed. I want you to pray for Kent. No, sir, not today. I want you to pray for me. Okay. God says, okay, but what about the other part? We need to say, okay, I want you to pray for me indeed, but Lord, I want more opportunities. I want more to do. I want something else. And so there's the blessings, and you know, first the blessings, but then there's a responsibility that's given there. Jabez was just not simply saying, okay, Lord, bless me, and that's it. He was recognizing that in that blessing, that there was something that was connected to that, and it was the blessing of being a servant of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's open our Bibles there to chapter 9, verse 6. We use this often, of course, to show about the giving and how that we're supposed to be people of the heart and giving as we purpose in our heart. And while that is a text of understanding our giving, we should not miss the point of the responsibility that is given in this text of the things that we ought to do. We go back to verse 6, chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or in necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, he is given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Verse 12. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. He is not simply just talking about lay something aside and put it in the plate every Sunday. I mean, that there's a reference to that, is that we give, but notice the responsibilities and the opportunities that we have here. That we are giving as God has loved us, but in verse 8, he talks about the abundance that we're doing for every good work. We should never think of giving just simply as an exercise of proxy that we check off and say, there it's done. What we're saying is, Lord, we want to be committed to do the work of the Lord. We want to be people who are active and busy in the work of the Lord. We want to be people who are saying to the Lord, I need more work to do. When's the last time you went to your boss and said, hey, I need more work? You know, I learned as a child two words you never said around my mother. You never, ever, ever uttered the words, I'm bored. Because she changed that little formula. Because if you go up there and said, I'm bored, she'd find us something to do. So, you know, you never, when's the last time, you know, you're going to go up to your boss, can I have more work? I wouldn't probably suggest that. But when's the last time we went to the Lord and said, well, okay, Lord, I want you to bless me indeed. Now listen, I guess you can't talk like that to the Lord. I'm sorry. You say to God, I sure would like more opportunities. Would you open more doors for me? Would you give me times and opportunity that maybe I could talk to people about your son and maybe to help people and maybe to encourage people or do things. What Jabez is saying here, I want more work to do. Because I realize that if you're going to bless me, I'm going to be responsive about that. And I want more to do. And I want to be busy about the kingdom of God. And in the family of God, there's a lot of work to do. In the kingdom of God, there's a lot of work to do. And we need to see it that even like Paul is praying here in Colossians chapter 4 when he says that God would opened to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." What Paul is saying is that I want more work to do. There's so much to do. And so when we pray to God, we need to pray for ourselves, but then we need to say to God, "God, today, this is on Monday, Lord, when I begin today, I want you to give me some more opportunities today. I want you to open me some doors today. Let me have an opportunity to speak to people about your Son. Let me give an opportunity to speak to people about the Word of God." We need to be people who are asking God, "Enlarge my territory. Give me more work to do." Well, but then again, there's another qualifier. "Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory." But he recognizes that with blessing comes responsibility, and then the strength comes in. You've asked me to bless. You've asked God to bless you. You've asked for more work. You've asked for more territory. But you know that there's more strength. And so what he says in this prayer is that not only do you need to be blessed, and look, he says, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me." He realizes that in this opportunity that's given, he needs to have the right guidance. He's not doing it for himself. This is not a selfish prayer. Jabez is not praying about himself. He's not trying to lift himself up in pride. He is simply saying to God, "I need your blessings. I want more to do. But Lord, I want your hand." He's doing it for the glory of God. And Paul needed more strength, and that's why he was asking for those open doors to give him an opportunity to preach the gospel. And so when we pray to God, we need to ask him so that we can be given that extra strength and that measure. In this great prayer, another prayer, in Ephesians chapter 3, this is almost a companion prayer in some ways to what Jabez has said. But notice what Paul says in Ephesians 3 and verse 14. We'll start reading there in verse 14. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory of the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Now, one of the ways that is important about Bible study is this. You read that. Paul's writing this letter to the Ephesians. He is expressing this prayer to the Ephesians, and it's a wonderful prayer. Now, let's go back and do it over again. This time, make it personal. This time, say, "Lord, bless me indeed." For this reason, Paul bows his knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom I, being a part of the whole family in heaven and earth, is named, that he, listen to it, would grant me, according to the riches of his glory, that he would grant me to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart through faith, and that I, being rooted and grounded in love, that I can comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and that I can know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, and that I can be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can possibly ask or anything that I can think, according to the power that works in me. Me. That's personal. That's enlarging my territory. And it's asking God's hand and his strength and all of that to come down upon me and give me that strength. I've asked his blessing. I wanted more opportunities. Now I want you to help me and to glorify your name through what I am able to do. That's a serious prayer. You know what's interesting about prayer? We need to be careful what we pray about, because he'll answer it. We need to be careful what we ask for, because he'll give it to us. And that's what we're asking. "Lord, I want you to bless me indeed. I want you to enlarge my territory. And God, I want your hand to be with me." That's a powerful prayer. One more thing. That prayer makes Satan real uncomfortable. That prayer causes Satan a lot of sleepless nights. That prayer really, really, really bothers Satan. So what's he going to do? He's going to come after us. So Jabez goes on to say, "Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Your hand will be with me." But it goes on in the fourth, says, "That you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." I don't know, again, a lot about who and what he is. We know that he was more honorable than his brothers. We know that his mother called his name Jabez because I bore him in pain. I guess we could all be, you know, called Jabez. Apparently this was something more than just the natural course of things. But regardless, you know, he kind of flips that back over in his prayer, and that he says that, "Lord, I want you to keep me from evil so that I won't cause pain." Not a noble prayer. There's a lot of things involved here. Number one, he's asking for God to keep him from evil. But he's asking because he does not want to cause pain for others. He wants to be something of a special messenger for God. "Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory, and let your hand be with me. And Lord, you be with me so strong so that I will not cause others to be in pain because of me." And that he is asking for that blessing. But particularly he is asking for God to say to him, for God to look upon him and say, "Lord, protect me." I think sometimes we don't see the significance of prayer. Sometimes that evil comes in our life and it's because we haven't asked God to keep it away from us. Now, I know that we're always going to be affected by sin, but you know, we've got to pray more and more about the fact that God's going to keep us away from sin. One of my favorite stories is in the book of Joshua, when Joshua's getting ready to go up against the city of Jericho. This is one of those unknown stories, but it's a great story, because before he gets ready to go, he's standing there, and all of a sudden there's this man standing there. And he don't know who that is. And he says, "Are you for or against?" It was the commander of the Lord's army. Can you imagine standing there talking to the commander of the Lord's army? I mean, is that totally cool or what? I mean, here it is, the commander. It's not the angels. This is the guy in charge of God's army. The one who's surrounding the mountains with the fiery chariots, you know, with Elisha and all of them. I mean, here's the command of the Lord. You know what he said? "I will encircle you." You know, we need to talk to the commander of the Lord's army. And we need to ask him and beg him and say to him, "I want you to come and help me. And I want you to keep that old ugly Satan away from me. I don't want him to be a part of my life. I don't want him to be here. And I want you to protect me from him. And I want you to save me from this problem." That's in Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, 14 and 15. We need to ask God, "Bless me indeed. Give me more opportunities. But I want you to keep me from evil." And you know what he'll do? He will. One of the indictments that Satan made against God about Job was that you put a hedge around him. And it's like, yes, I did. You got any questions about that? Satan wasn't wrong about that. God's people, when we ask him, "Lord, put a hedge around us," he will. And there are many times that in our lives, if we would simply ask God to protect us from evil, he'll do it. And we won't be infected by it. We will not be given over to evil, because we have asked for his protection. And that's exactly what Jabez is saying. That "I want you to keep me from evil. I want your hand to be with me, that you will keep me from evil." Because he was going to stay as far away from evil as he could. Now there's a side lesson to that too. You know what made Job so totally unusual? Well, not unusual, but so courageous. He was a righteous man, and he was a very devout man. But the life of Job was maybe better summed up by what is said. Not only did he fear evil, but he shunned, or fear God, but he shunned evil. Or if you like the King James, I like that word, he eschewed evil. I'm not sure I guess eschewed means shunned. But you know, you act big when you can use those big words like eschew. He hated evil. He just stayed away from it. And what we need to do about evil is we just need to stay away from it. There are too many times that people say, well, here's evil, and I'm going to get just as close as I can. As long as I don't fall, I'm going to be okay. That's not what we do with evil. We cannot pray to God, keep me from evil, and run right to it. Because those legs don't go on the same body. A kneeling knee does not go with a running leg to Satan. You understand what I'm saying? Jabez is praying to God and say, keep me from evil. That means I'm going to do whatever I can in my life to keep evil away from me. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:21, we need to test everything. We need to hold fast what is good. And we need to abstain from every form of evil. I get a little weary sometimes with my brethren who say, well, this is permissible, and they'll dress like this, and they'll act like this, and they'll imbibe in this. And it's like, and why do you think that you're going to fall into temptation? You will not fall into temptation if you don't go after it. And we can't pray to God and say, you know, keep me from evil when we're not going to do it ourselves. He will not do that. Oh, put your hedge around me, put a few doors so I can get out when I want to. No. Jabez is saying, I'm going to stay as far away from evil as I can. I'm not going to allow it in my life. It's bad enough. Reminded of what Gary Ogden said about drinking. He would say, well, what's wrong with taking a little nip once in a while? He said, I'm going to tell you, I have a hard enough time fighting Satan stone sober. Why would I want to inhibit my ability to refrain from him by taking drinks of alcohol and things like that? I mean, that's just insane. Jabez knew the danger. And what he was praying for was not only just the blessing of God, but he was telling God, I'm going to do my part, and I want you to do my part. So there's two things there. We need to pray for God to surround us with his command, to put that hedge as high as he can around us and protect us from evil, and then we need to hunker down inside of it and don't get out of it. We need to stay where we're at and not grow after evil. But what a great prayer. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territory. Let your hand be upon me and keep me from evil. It's a great prayer, four prayers, four parts. And the thing is that the text tells us that when he offered that prayer, what did God do? Well, he does what he does for you and me. And so God granted him what he requested. He said, okay, that's great. There it all is that God said that you've asked for it, and I'm going to assure that what happened with Jabez is that he got blessed indeed, and the Lord gave him more territory, enlarged his opportunity, and his hand was against him, and he protected from, and I want to know the rest of the story. We don't have it. And he'll do the same thing for you and I today. If we pray this prayer, God will grant to us what we ask. And that's absolute. That's not a maybe. We've got to believe in the power of prayer, that when God says that he will do it, he will do it. And if we will pray this prayer fervently, and if we will pray this prayer every day or whenever we do that, God is going to grant that to us. Why should we not pray that prayer? Isaiah says in Isaiah 50 and verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. He is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment. The moth will eat them up. You know what Isaiah is saying? He said, let me tell you about that prayer of Jabez. You pray that prayer, there is nothing that can stand before you. If we pray the prayer of Jabez or the semblance thereof, there is nothing that will stand before us. Satan himself will not be able to stand before us. There is no government, there is no people, there is nothing that will be able to stand, because we will not be ashamed, because God is the one who justifies me, and nobody will be able to contend with me, nobody will be able to succeed to overcome me as my adversary, and nobody will condemn me. You know why? Because I serve the Lord God Almighty. And I pray to Him and ask for His blessings upon me, and I am empowered and infused with His Spirit, and nothing can stand before me. And it ain't because of me, it's because of God. And that is how the New Testament Christians turned their world upside down. We just need to pray. We need to be effective, fervently praying, as James tells us in James chapter 5. He is able. Three words. He is able. Do you believe that? We've got to believe that God will do that in our lives, because He is able to deliver us from anything, everything. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether you pray the prayer of Jabez, which I hope that we do, or you pray a prayer like that, or you simply bow to God and say, Lord, deliver me from evil, whatever it is, we can overcome. We can overcome. Let's do that in our lives this week. Pray. Let's stand. Let's sing.